Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chief for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, welcome to Chief for Yourself. Thanks for being with us today, wherever you happen to be in the world at this moment. When you hear our guest's voice, you'll pick up on her energy right away, though you may find it hard to believe that at one point in her life she was couch-bound, depressed, not exactly loving life. But Sam Bennett turned things around. She began moving toward her dreams and reaching her goals, and since then she's inspired many others to do the same. Sam Bennett was with us in 2014 to talk about her book, Get It Done. She's back today to talk about another book, Start Right Where You Are, How Little Changes Can Make a Big Difference for Overwhelmed Procrastinators, Frustrated Overachievers, and Recovering Perfectionists. And Sam, I want to start with the title of the book, Start Right Where You Are. You get directly to the point, much like your book, Get It Done. And I'm wondering, do you have a particular intention when you title a book, or do you just leave it up to serendipity? What's your process?
Well, the title of the book actually came from a workshop. I taught the workshop first, called Start Right Where You Are, because I realized I was needing almost a prequel to Get It Done. You know, Get It Done is very, it's sort of project management for creative people. You know, it's kind of fun ways to get your creative work out into the world. But I realized that, you know, if it's not actually okay with you that you get your creative work out into the world, or if you are so stressed out and overwhelmed you can't even think about getting your creative work done, then, you know, it doesn't really matter what strategies I give you because you're not going to do it. So this is much more about kind of the inner game of joyful living and creativity. And so that's where I started with, was with that title. And then the subtitle was partly for fun, but also as a hand raiser, you know, for people to go like, overwhelmed perfectionist, yep, frustrated overachiever, yep, that's me.
Well, there was a time in your life you were helped by some friends who gave you a self-help book, and you took it from there. And as the holidays approach, some people might see themselves in your story. Talk about that time in your life and what really helped you to turn it around.
Yeah. As I say, I was broke and crying on the couch. And, you know, my background's in theater. I was an actor. And I had one of those careers that always went well enough that you didn't want to give up on it, but not so well as to actually be able to support a person. And I was discouraged because I felt like I was doing everything right. You know, I was following my bliss. I was doing well enough, but still nothing was quite working. And finally I realized that from this position of being just fed up with myself and exhausted and tired of being tired, I realized I had to stop locating my happiness in the future. In other words, I was doing that thing that I think we all do of like, well, if I get this gig, then it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if I make this amount of money, or if I hit this goal weight, or if this happens or that happens, you know, then it'll be okay. And, you know, sometimes I would hit those goals and sometimes I wouldn't, but it wasn't affecting how I was feeling on the inside. So that's when I really started to take some of the lessons from the self-help books that I'd been reading and that my friends gave me and really try to implement them, like to actually do it, which is a little different than just reading about it.
Yeah. So you're an example that self-help books, in this case, work.
Yeah.
But you've got to do the work.
You've got to put it into action, because otherwise, you know, it's like reading about swimming.
Yeah. Well, in the culture today, the expression me time seems to be used in a kind of a frivolous way, but in Start Right Where You Are, you explain how being attentive to ourselves is really important. How can someone who's been the one more often than not doing the giving start to turn the much-needed attention back to the self?
Yeah, I think there's a real, some really upside-down thinking around taking care of yourself, because we have that feeling that it's selfish. Right? I can't take time for myself. That would be selfish. I can't take time, you know, to work on my book or my creative projects or do my prayer and meditation practice. That would be selfish. And that's completely backwards, because what's actually selfish is you showing up exhausted, stressed out, overwhelmed, and with no sense of humor. selfish because the rest of us have to deal with you when you're like that, and you're not very much fun. On the other hand, when you take the time to really, you know, to make sure that you are fed and rested and petted and walked and meditated and creatively satisfied, we love that version of you. You know, you show up with a light in your eyes, and you can listen, and you're not so reactive, you don't take things so personally, you have good ideas. Like, we love that version of you. That's the opposite of selfish. That, in fact, is the ultimate generosity, to show up fully and being fully present.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of time, we've all felt the pressure of the feeling that we don't have enough time, and yet we don't think much about the possibility that we have too much time on our hands. How does that manifest?
Well, sometimes I see people get trapped in procrastination, yeah, because they don't set a deadline for themselves, and they get a little crushed by the abundance of time, or what they perceive to be the abundance of time, because obviously the truth of the matter is we all get the same amount of time. Everybody's got the same 24 hours. Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. You know? Mm-hmm. People often say, like, oh, I wish I had time to write a book. I'm like, you do. You're just spending that time on other things, which is fine, but, you know, acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge what's going on. But yeah, but sometimes, you know, particularly you'll see this sometimes when people retire, they'll have that feeling of like, oh, as soon as I retire, you know, I'm going to have all this time, and I'm going to get all this stuff done. And, But they can feel a little oppressed sometimes by too much opportunity.
You have a list of 66 small and what are called doable changes that can help us. Does any one of these stand out as somewhere we should more or less focus our attention?
You know, my favorite, and it is a little like picking your favorite child, but because there are, you know, like you said, there's 66 of them, and they're very, the chapters are very short. Some of them are just a page or two. It's really, you know, meant to be very easy to read and a lot of really easy to do things. Probably my favorite is, has to do with a suggestion I make for what to do when you're stuck. When you're stuck emotionally, or you're stuck in an old story, or you're stuck like you don't know what to do. And here's what I suggest. Make some five-minute art about it. Make some five-minute art about it. So that may mean that you draw a picture of the feeling. It may mean that you do a dance or make up a little song about it, or get out the Sculpey clay or do some expressive movement. I don't know, whatever, you know, whatever blows your skirt up. But and it doesn't have to be good. You never have to show it to anyone. But here's what happens when you make some art about how you're feeling. Two things happen. One, feelings just want to be felt. Feelings just want to be felt. And once a feeling knows it's been felt, it can get promoted and get a better job. As opposed to trying to keep your feelings locked away, right?
Right.
Because we all know how well that strategy works. Right? So that's one thing, is it just lets the feeling know it's been felt. And there's some opportunity for transformation there. But also, the other thing it does is it allows you to get a slightly different perspective on it. Because when it's inside your head and inside your body, it feels very oppressive and challenging. But sometimes when it's outside your head, you can start to relate to it a little bit differently. I'll give you an example. I was doing one of my live workshops, and a woman raised her hand and said, you know, Sam, I hear you say make some art about it, and I don't really know what you mean. And I said, oh, good. I said, great. So if you were going to make up a little song right now about how it feels to not know what I mean, how would that go? Mm-hmm. And she goes, she starts to move her head in this little TikTok, and she goes, I don't get it. 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 And then she goes, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so great. Like, we all fell out. Everybody started laughing so hard because we've all felt that way, right? And for her to be able to take that feeling of, and that's a horrible feeling, right? Oh, my gosh, everybody's understanding something that I don't get, you know, and turn it into this little song. Like, it allowed all of us to participate in that in a new way and allowed her to get a new perspective. And I still sing that little song to myself all the time. I don't get it.
Well, so many people live inside their heads. I know I did that growing up, those of us who came from a less than ideal situation. And then we realize we have to start feeling the feelings, but that's kind of scary. How do you get into the feeling? Is meditation a good way to start? I know the five-minute art is excellent, but a meditation practice maybe would shed some light?
It can. It absolutely can. I think meditation works beautifully for the people that meditation works beautifully for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that it's quite for everyone. Although I also think it depends on who's teaching it. I know for years I struggled with meditation. I would try it and it just never really clicked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working with a really fantastic meditation instructor, and that blew the lid off the thing. I was like, Oh, that's what this is? Oh, this I love. Like, this I'm great at. So I think it's not that there's a single strategy. I think it's about continuing to excavate for yourself. And I think understanding, you know, that you can really trust yourself. You can trust yourself to have feelings. You can trust yourself to express your feelings. You can trust other people with your feelings. For those of us who are not exactly members of the Happy Childhood Club, this can be a big lesson, but it definitely has a cumulative effect. The more you work on it, the better you'll get.
Our guest on this Chief for Yourself is Sam Bennett, author of Start Right Where You Are, How Little Changes Can Make a Big Difference for Overwhelmed Procrastinators, Frustrated Overachievers, and Recovering Perfectionists. Well, you did outline your dealing with anxiety and depression in one of the book's chapters. And in my own experience, I was able to function, go to work, and be with people. I've heard that called functional depression. What was your experience like?
Yeah, I've heard it called functional depression. It's also, I have that too. I've also heard it called atypical depression,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because it's actually very typical.
Yeah.
It's not that rare at all. But yeah, so it's not the kind of depression where you're crying in bed and, you know, can't get up.
Mm-hmm.
That's one kind. But this, yeah, I was able to get up and go and be with people and be productive. And in fact, I often used busy as a narcotic, you know, like, well, if I'm busy enough, then the only feeling I'll have is tired. But eventually, you know, that stops working, like all narcotics, it
mm-hmm.
stops working.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had to get real with myself about what was happening, and got some medication, which I was really against. I was like, I don't want to take a pill every day.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of those people.
Yeah, same here.
And boy, was that dumb. Like, I wish I'd done that so much sooner. The medication is great, but depression is it's a global disease. It's a chemical problem. It's a physical problem. It's a psychic problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's an emotional problem. Like, it's really all-encompassing, so it kind of needs a multi-pronged approach. And one of those for me was medication, but also improving my prayer and meditation practice really helped. Moving to the sea, moving to the beach made a big difference in my life, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Segueing into something a little more uplifting, you started a business called the Organized Artist Company. Almost sounds like an oxymoron. Talk a bit about how you help the artist become more organized and vice versa.
Yeah, so part of it is, I mean, I created the Organized Artist Company really out of my own need because I realized, you know, there's a lot of books out there and advice on scheduling and budgeting and setting better goals and being more efficient, but, you know, creative people don't really care who's moved their cheese. That's not really our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff about creativity, but it's a lot of, you know, spiritual healing through creativity or unleashing your inner artist. And I was really concerned with, like, well, what do the rest of us do? You know, how do you move forward when there's no quarterly review on how your novel is going, you know? And what I determined was it's a lot of inquiry, you know, because there isn't a right way. There isn't a right way to get your work out into the world. There isn't a right way to meditate. There isn't a right way to be a good parent or a good partner or a good citizen. There's just your way.
Yeah.
So I teach classes and offer consulting and speeches and stuff, mostly on understanding that you do have a way. You know, everyone is organized in some fashion. you have a natural system. You have a natural way of doing things. Some people come home, drop their keys, and then spend 20 minutes the next day looking for their keys. That's a system. You know, it's not the most efficient system, but it is a system. So to understand your own systems and your own natural rhythms and really start to align yourself with those so that you're working in a way that feels really great to you and feels really easy for you. That's what I'm always looking for.
Einstein is given credit for saying that one of the fundamental questions we all have to ask ourselves is, do we live in a friendly or an unfriendly world? And you've said that you see the universe as benevolent, and with so many violent and depressing episodes in the world, what's a good way to maintain, or at least to start, that benevolent universe outlook?
I like to use a phrase, I say it all the time, my team says it all the time to me, my students are starting to say it back to me a lot, and the phrase is this: nothing bad is happening. Nothing bad is happening. And when I remember to say that, it causes me to think a couple of things. First of all, as I'm right there with Einstein, and I have a spiritual belief that says the universe is a benevolent place. So if that's true, then it's got to be true even when things aren't going the way I would like them to. The second thing it does is remind me to get a little more precise in my language. Because if nothing bad is happening, then what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Is something uncomfortable happening? Is something tragic or heartbreaking happening? Is something unpleasant happening? Something that's just not the way I would have done it happening? What is it? And then finally, it reminds me, to look for the opportunity in what's happening. To look for the invitation. You know, am I being asked to be clearer, to be braver, to be a better communicator? Am I being asked to be more compassionate? Am I being asked to remember our fragility? What's being, you know, in this circumstance that may seem bad, you know, it may seem like this is not preferable, this is not what we would want, to be able to say, okay, well, aside from the fact that it's not what I want, what is really happening and where's the invitation? Where am I being invited to grow?
Of some of the changes that you suggest that people work into their lives, and I love this. This is the one I think that raises all the eyebrows. Schedule some happy grown-up naked time. I'll let you just take it from there and go where you want to go.
Happy grown-up naked time.
Oh, what a visual.
All right,
wow.
So here's the thing with happy grown-up naked time. And it might be easiest to actually demonstrate this.
Okay. Part two.
I know, this is taking a terrible turn, but bear with me for a second. So, everybody go ahead and just, like, hold your own hand. Put one hand in the other. Just clasp your own hand, or if you can't reach your hand, maybe your arm or your face or something. And just notice the texture of your skin and the temperature and the muscles and you know, your hands do so much work for you all the time, and they hardly ever get any attention. You know, just noticing that you have a body. And that's really the heart of happy grown-up naked time. It's about taking, I don't know, half an hour once a week, Wednesday nights at 6:30, let's say, and exploring your own physical self. And if it's something you want to do it alone, you know, find out what tickles, what's rough, give yourself a foot rub, I don't know. If you have a partner and you want to do it with someone, I think that's really beautiful too. And it can be sexual if you want it to be, but it doesn't have to be. You know, not everybody can have sex, not everybody wants to have sex, some people are too mad and tired to have sex. That's not really what this is about. It's really just about appreciating and noticing your own physical self and the physical self of your beloved, if there is one. There's a fascinating study that they did in Great Britain about slow touch. Like if you sort of pat your own arm or hand, like at the rate that you might pat a dog, and then you slow that down, and then slow it down again, so that you're sort of patting at quarter speed, that touch improves your self-esteem. It improves your self-concept. So we can actually make ourselves happier. We can make ourselves feel better just by acknowledging the dimensions of our own skin.
Hmm. Nice. We're coming up on the end of 1 year and about to move into a new one, and a lot of us, present company included, want to declutter, but we also want to hold on more, and it's more than just stuff, things like holding on to certain people and identities. It's a trapped energy, I guess, and you list the seven kinds of clutter that nobody talks about, and to me, the one that jumped out to me is a fantasy about a future life. I guess that goes on a lot, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think a lot of times it's not so much that we're unwilling to get rid of the stuff, it's that we're willing or unwilling to get rid of what the stuff represents.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I remember working with I had a client who had a giant pile of old film equipment. She'd been interested in filmmaking in the early 80s, and this equipment dated back to then. And she didn't want to get rid of it because to her that meant giving up on her dream of filmmaking.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of talking and a lot of work around it because I'm like, sweetheart, bust out your iPhone. We can make a movie right now. The equipment has nothing to do with your ability to tell stories and to make movies and create wonderful visual art. You know, if that's really where the hunger is, then let's get moving on that and let the stuff go. The stuff is not your dream. The stuff is not your memory. The stuff is not the person who gave it to you that you love or feel conflicted about. You know, the stuff is just the stuff.
Hmm. One last question, and I'll wrap it up for today. Is there any one point you'd like readers to come away with after reading Start Right Where You Are?
Just that the world needs you, the world needs your good work, the world needs your art, the world needs your shining presence, and we need it now, you know, not later today, not after the new year, but really, right now.
Your website, I know, is startrightwhereyouare.com. Are we also listing the organizedartistcompany.com?
Yep, also list that? Yep. startrightwhereyouare.com has stuff about the book and a bunch of free goodies, and the organizedartistcompany.com is even, there's a ton of stuff on there. I don't even know what's in there anymore. But yes, visit me either place. I'd be happy to see you there.
And on a local note here in Southern California, you still doing the big guests?
Not this year. Thank you for asking. I'm taking a year off this year, but there'll be something happening. So that's really the best, is to get on both at startrightwhereyouare.com and at theorganizedartistcompany.com. There's opportunities to jump onto my email list, and then you get even more free stuff, plus you can tell me about your own projects, and that's mostly how I communicate with people, is via email. So once you're on that list, you'll get hip to all the stuff that's happening.
All right, the book is Start Right Where You Are, How Little Changes Can Make a Big Difference for Overwhelmed Procrastinators, Frustrated Overachievers, and Recovering Perfectionists, from Sam Bennett. Sam, thanks for writing a book that takes us through some of our challenges in a helpful and in a lighthearted way. Keep up the good writing and come back and talk with us again.
I will, John. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll link to Sam Bennett's website on the chieforyourself.com start page. When you're there, leave your email address in the box at the top of the page, and you'll get notifications of guest interview dates and other important stuff, including a series of Genuline's blog posts to help get you in the right frame of mind for the coming new year. And I want to mention that our first scheduled Chief for Yourself guest in 2017 is an organizational expert who's going to take a look at New Year resolutions, why we break them, and better ways to make them. I'll tell you more about that in a coming Genuline's post. That's going to do it for today. Once again, thank you so much for being with us and for all your likes and follows, too. All greatly appreciated. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.